This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you in part by Bizrate. Bizrate is a free iOS shopping app that uses barcode scanning and search technology to find the best deals on products from thousands of stores in every product category, appliances, clothes, electronics. So head over to iTunes and search for Bizrate before you buy anything.
Hey, you guys, it's Christine Blackburn with the Storyworthy podcast, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the show. Recently, our numbers have been better and better, so please pass it on to your family, your friends, your coworkers. Heck, maybe even turn them on to what podcasts even are. And then that way, we can keep the Storyworthy train coming.
Hi, I'm Mike Schmidt from the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. This is Storyworthy, and that's right, I'm here, finally. They finally asked. I know you've been clamoring for it. I'm finally here. Shut up.
Welcome to the Storyworthy podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from a bar on Hollywood Boulevard, very near the Pantages Theater. Now, we've agreed not to mention the name. The reason is, our topic tonight is hookers, which made me look up prostitute hangouts on Yelp.
Oh, how about Jumbo's Clown Room?
That's on here, but the number one rated thing for prostitute hangouts in Hollywood is the bar we're in right now.
Oh, come on. Just tell us.
Well, they might. Okay. It's the Frolic Room.
Oh, yeah, the Frolic Room. You know who I saw there once? I saw Quentin Tarantino in the Frolic Room.
Was he with a prostitute?
I don't think he was. It's right beside the Pantages Theater.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really nice bar.
Yeah. No, it's and apparently hand jobs aplenty.
Oh, no.
That's actually a sign that they have in the window. It says hand jobs aplenty, and it's shine, you know, it goes on and off. It's neon. And there's a hand, and it goes off and it goes on. It's like, it's a thing. So that was my first clue. So anyhow, hookers.
We're talking about hookers tonight, you guys, on behalf of our guest, Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt is here. Some of you may know him as a comedian. Some know him as a podcaster. I just know this. He's a damn nice guy, Hannes. He's the real deal.
Yes, he is the real deal. I know him as a Bears fan, and therefore, I don't know.
Well, you know, he was actually at the Packers game the other night, the Packer-Bear game, that Monday Night Football game.
Yes,
and
when Aaron Rodgers was hurt.
Right.
And no matter when you listen to this, Aaron Rodgers will probably still be hurt
by the time
you hear it.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate. But it was kind of fun to see him at the game via Facebook and Twitter, because he was, you know, he's very much a, like, you know, the authentic down home guy.
Well, the thing about the Bears and the Packers is we love to, you know, hate each other and so forth, but we're kind of like relatives.
Because you need each other.
Yeah, because the Bears and the Packers are like the Steelers, whose jersey you're wearing tonight. It's like we're real football teams.
Right.
And then, you know, so we can argue with each other. And then a guy comes in the bar and goes, I like the Carolina Panthers. And we're like, fuck you.
In course,
your team is like 2 years old.
Well,
you're not even named after a whole state. It's like two states because you can't make up your fucking mind. Fuck you. So we all get together when we hate the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I wore my Pittsburgh Steelers jersey tonight on behalf of Mike Schmidt, who is here. And I don't know Mike well, but the fact that he brought forth the topic hookers somehow doesn't really surprise me.
Doesn't hurt, because remember, all of our highest rated shows have some kind of sexy title.
It's true. People do enjoy the sexy talk.
So we got the hand job and the holy hand, number one. We've had threesomes. We've had orgies. Now we've got hookers. I'm surprised it took us this long, quite
frankly. I'm surprised, frankly, as well. And I will say this. When you think of a hooker, you might think of a prostitution. That's the profession. You know what I mean?
That is what I think of. Where else are you going with this?
No, I'm just saying the prostitution is the activity that a hooker performs. In other words, she's not a dancer. She's not a stripper. She's not a... She prostitutes, right?
No, she... Well, yes, she...
A hooker. Hooks.
Yeah. But a hooker is just another word for the same thing, so I'm...
I don't know. I think it's a verb. I think hooker is the noun, and then to prostitute herself, a hooker prostitutes herself.
No, I think they mean exactly the same thing.
Is that right?
Look, I brought in five or six prostitutes. Hang on, there's some girls by the bar. Girls?
Okay, and
girls,
then there's
how
like,
much just to talk? No, I just need the information. We are not no hand jobs, no touching. We just need grammar work. How much is grammar? $10?
The thing is, there's also, you could say, a call girl or a whore Or an escort?
A whore. You know, when you watch Game of Thrones, like, you get numb to the word whore.
Because, is that
like,
right?
Every other word is whore. There's a lot of whores in the show. There's a lot of talk about whores.
But aren't
there's people
they,
being
like,
called whores.
Aren't they courtesans, as it were? Or like a harlot?
No, they use the word whore. They're just whorehouses. And, like, sometimes the whore will be elevated to being the mistress of one of the prominent people. But they still call them whores.
Well, there's also, of course, men can be prostitutes. But
they
I don't think
be.
They call them hookers. Do they?
They call them, no, I don't, what do you call them? They call them Richard Gere in American Gigolo. They call them gigolos. Yes, that's what it is.
I see. Well,
have you ever seen American Gigolo, by the way?
Of course, in the 70s. I mean, but it was so long ago.
I know. I wonder if anybody's even seen it today. I think it was one of those, I saw it recently on cable, and it's like, you know, he's like, look at his fancy clothes and all the money he has, and you look, he's driving a 1982 Mercedes with a tape deck built in. It's like there's this this fetish like shot of him pushing the tape in, like,
right.
Oh, he can listen to whatever he wants in his car because he's got a tape deck.
Because he,
like,
has cassettes.
Oh, see, now it doesn't
it's
fight.
It's funny,
you.
And then Richard Gere basically plays that same character, fast forward, in Pretty Woman. It's really the same role for him.
Yeah, except he's graduated being the John.
But it's still, he's in the cool car and he's in the good-looking suit. I mean, that's his role.
Right. No, his whole thing
he does
is
it well.
Like, look at
what
me.
What can you say?
Look at my hair is black and perfect. Look, my hair is gray and perfect. That's pretty much his whole career.
Hey, listen, here's something I wanted to mention before we bring Mike Schmidt on, which is
yes.
momentarily.
Yes.
Folks, if you head on over to storyworthypodcast.com,
yes.
before you shop on Amazon, let's say you're doing your Christmas shopping, that sort of thing.
Sure.
You click on our banner ad and then we get a taste of that purchase.
Right. It isn't going to cost you anything extra. You just go to Amazon, shop normally. You can buy your Richard Gere memorabilia.
Also, folks, Storyworthy, as you know, we've been coming at you for over 3 years now.
Coming at you.
We give you free shows every darn week. And if you would like to help us keep the train going, feel free to donate. What do they do, Hannes? Do you know how you donate?
You go to storywithpodcast.com. You click on the donate button. It's much easier than going to, like, PBS.
And
we don't give you a tote bag.
We have a PayPal monthly donation.
Oh, that's right. We do have a regular.
So for like $5, you can give us a worthy donation every month.
Yeah.
Or for $10 a month, we call that a story worthy donation. And guess what we call it, Hannes, if you give us $20 a month?
Erotica donation?
No. We call it a plea for help. No.
No, we call it, you have way too much money.
We call that the best of story worthy. If
yes,
you really want to support
exactly.
us, $5 a week, we'll
and you
do
know
that.
What? What are you doing with $5? You know, I got from my job as a birthday card? I got a $5 Starbucks card.
Is
there anything I can get at Starbucks $5? No, there's not. No, there's not. That's what I got. So $5 means nothing, so give it to us.
I think you can get a scone.
Yeah, a scone without a coffee, which is pointless. That's like a hand job without a happy ending.
Mike Schmidt is on his way up right now, you guys. So please, wherever you are, stay tuned because Mike Schmidt is soon talking about hookers. We have a new sponsor that I want to talk about, BizRate.com.
Oh, right. Now, these are the guys that you can check out to compare prices by just scanning a barcode.
Exactly.
It's awesome. There's lots of situations I can think of using this, especially Christmas shopping.
Exactly. And BizRate's iOS app is accurate up to the minute, so you can be guaranteed that you're getting the best price. So, like, let's say you're down at the Grove and you're shopping for a gift for Sherry.
Right. And then I go to the BizRate app and I scan the barcode and blammo! You heard me. Blammo! I see the best deal. Plus, there are product reviews, I can save items for later, and I can even find coupons.
Exactly. There's millions of products right there from my smartphone. I can see them. I mean, that's a lot of shopping I can do. And then the app will also take me to the best retailer site.
There are also over 100 retailers that you can shop right within the app. That means you enter your credit card information once, and then you can buy from tons of different stores.
You mean that, like, I can buy, like, a power drill or something from Home Depot, and then, like, a table lamp from Target or a blanket or something without re-entering all my shipping and billing info? I mean, that's the hardest part of online shopping.
It certainly is. So BizRate is making it all incredibly easy.
BizRate.com.
Hey, it's Paul Gilmartin from the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast, and I don't mean to shock you, but you are currently listening to Storyworthy.
And- And we're back. We've moved down Hollywood Boulevard a bit to the Snow White Cafe. It's just as exotic as it sounds.
Listen,
there are
people
in elf costumes, not elf costumes.
That's not true. And that would actually frighten me because, you know, I have a fear of dwarfs. I do. You know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason I was going to tell you. Don't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no,
I know that.
The greatest dwarf actor in the world. Peter Dinklage. He's so awesome.
I know he is, but I can't. That's the same reason why I don't like any sci-fi, because I don't like the idea of like the gnomes and the elves and the whole like Harry Potter and then the Peter Jackson thing going on, the Lord of the Rings. That terrifies me. All that stuff. The Snow White Cafe, I'll say this, they have a good breakfast. I remember that. It was two eggs, any style. Usually it is. Usually they don't peg you. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I want to read the cafe where the guy goes, "We have over easy only. Can I have scrambled?" Fuck you. Get out. No scramble for you.
But then the potatoes and the toast, and I would get that when I first moved to L.A. and I was working at Starline Tours right there on Hollywood Boulevard, and I would get that breakfast, $5.45. Not a bad deal.
It's probably $5.75 by now, so yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a real storyteller here, and that's good news. All right, you guys.
Thank God.
Mike Schmidt is here. You may know Mike as a comedian or as a podcaster. His show, The 40-Year-Old Boy, has been called the funniest answering machine message you'll ever get. You can find him at The 40-Year-Old Boy on Twitter or at MikeSchmidtComedy.com. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Mike Schmidt.
All right. Well, you know, my story starts. What if it went forever? It starts, well, it was Father's Day 2011. And I used to have a job at a graveyard security gig. I was the security guy in an apartment building. And I was bored out of my fucking mind there all the time. So in the middle of the night, I would eat because I'm fat. So it was like 1 o'clock in the morning on the weekend, and it was a Saturday night. And I said, well, fuck it, I'm going to In-N-Out, because I would justify to myself that at least that it was decent protein and good fast food. But that's the shit you tell yourself when you're a fat guy. So 1 o'clock, I hopped out. And I had to leave. And again, I'm the guard, so I can't leave my laptop and my phone, because as I leave, the guard is off. So nobody's there to guard it. So I grab my stuff, I throw it in the car, and I bail. And I have to lock up and hope nothing happens at the building, because then I'll get fired. So I split, and I head over to In-N-Out Burger on Langersham Boulevard. And I wind up in the drive-thru. I pull up to the front, I order my food. And if you've been in a drive-thru, you know there's always a scramble, because they hand you, especially at In-N-Out. And I'm fat. I ordered like 9 beverages, which seems high. It was a Coke and a shake, and I didn't need a shake, but again, I'm fat, I'm getting salty fries, I gotta have a shake, I'm gonna have salty fries, I'm gonna dip them in there, yes, I'm fat. So I get 2 drinks, and I hate their cup holder thing, because it's a weird, I hate that purse that the drinks come in, it's so stupid. So I go, give me the drinks, so I'm holding them in my hand, and they put my hamburger in a box, because I like it, it's like a little meat coffin. So I get a box of the lid, and I take that, and I pull out. Now, I could sit there and adjust everything in my car, but then I'm holding up the line. And if you know anything about In-N-Out Burger, late at night, there's 47 people in line, and they're just going to fucking honk and yell. And the last thing I want to do is fight there. Well, that's probably not the last thing I want to do, but it's on the list of last things I would want to do. So I need to pull out and just park my car and adjust. So I pull out, I turn left, and I'm on Langersham Boulevard. And I pull up to the curb, and I have to adjust. So I have 2 cup holders in my car, and there's a Propel sport drink, and then there's a water. By the way, do we get money for endorsing Propel? I'm an idiot. And then there's a water there as well. So I take those out, and I throw them in the seat, and I've got the hamburger, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put that. Well, I got to put it on the seat behind me, and I grab my phone, and I drop that on the floor, and I'm disheveled. I'm disheveled because I've got food, and I just want to get back to work, and I realize I'm in a hurry. And as I reach down to get my phone off the floor, I see a shadow, and I hear somebody moving, but I don't look up because I just don't really think about it. And all of a sudden, somebody opens my passenger side door, and they get in my car, and they close it. And I don't know. I don't know who it is or what they're doing. And I'll tell you, you always say to yourself, well, I would never let anybody in my fucking car. Or the second anybody came in, I would go bananas. No, you freeze. You fucking freeze, because that's what I did. So the door closes, and I'm grabbing my phone, and I look up, and there's a woman sitting in my passenger seat. And I take a quick look at her. It's dark. There's shadows. But I can see that she's wearing a bra, like a sequiny, spangly bra and short shorts. And I immediately go, what the fuck are you doing? And she says, hey, baby. And I said, what the fuck are you doing in my car? She says, you pulled over for me. I said, no, I didn't. Get the fuck out of my car. And she says, can I touch you? I says, no, you can't touch me. Get the fuck out of my car. And she says, well, if I can't touch you, I have to think that you're a cop. I said, look, if I got news for you. If I'm a cop, I shoot you in the fucking face the second you get in my car. Get out of my fucking car. And she stares at me, and I don't know what to do because I'm not scaring her. And that's all I'm doing is I'm yelling at her, trying to scare her. Because if a guy gets in my car at 1:30 in the morning, I just punch the fuck out of him until he dies or he runs. I mean, literally, that's how you would handle it. I would just hit him, fucking hit him, and then I would open the door, and he would ooze out into the curb, and then I would drive off and eat my fucking hamburger proud. But she just sits there and stares at me. She's not fazed at all. And I'm yelling and I'm loud and I'm big. And that's all I'm doing is I'm getting big. I'm like trying, you know what? It's like trying to scare a possum away from your garbage. Like I'm just, get the fuck out of my car. And she's not flinching or blinking. If I had a broom, I would have been waving it in the air. Go, shoo, shoo, hooker. Because she's got to be a hooker, right? That's the only thing I think is that she has to be a hooker. Why else should she be dressed like that and getting in my fucking car for no reason? So I just get the fuck out of my car. And she says, it's $80 for everything, $60 for a blowjob. And I said, well, I don't want anything. I don't want any. I'm a married man. Get the fuck out of my car. And again, I'm a married man. Like, that's going to help at all. Like, that's in this negotiation. Oh, I didn't know that you were married. And she, good day, sir. And gets out and leaves. I think not. But I said, I don't care. I have to go to work. And she goes, well, I'm already at work, baby. I said, I know. Get the fuck out of my car. And I'm just gesticulating and I'm waving and I'm yelling and she's sitting there perfectly still in her short shorts and her big fucking stacked Lucite heels. And I got to be honest, she's fucking hot. I mean, she really looks good. She might be 20. That might be generous. And she looks like she walked off the stage at Deja Vu and got right into my car. So as I'm yelling and she's looking at me, not even fazed, a cop pulls up. And I freeze. And he's kind of like alongside me, but he drives slowly past me. He doesn't look at me. And then I realize he's just stopping in the center lane. And then he turns left to go to In-N-Out Burger and eat before they close. And then it dawns on me that I probably should stop screaming because all I'm doing is drawing attention to myself. And I can't, that's the things I can't even get him and say help because I have a hooker in my car. There's no way I'm getting out of it. And I can't even reach across her and open the door and shove her out because all she has to do is say rape and then I'm fucked. So I realize she holds all the cards at this point. So I tell her, I calm down. I say, I'm not interested. I just, please, please get out of my car. And she says, okay, baby, but it's so cold. Can you give me a ride? And I said, what? She goes, I just need a ride up to Denny's. That's all I need is a ride to Denny's. And I say, all right, I'll take you to Denny's. I'm about to take a hooker to Denny's. Because what else do you do? I can't throw her out. I can't yell. I can't get a cop. I figure I'm fucking trapped. So I just start to drive. And Denny's is about 2.5 miles from where I am. And I pull out. I should tell you, I have never driven more safely in my life. I put on the turn signal. I white knuckle the steering wheel. Hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock and I pull out. And I'm driving super, I'm like 5 miles under the speed limit. And I look at her and I go, put your seatbelt on. And she goes, what? I go, I'm not getting pulled over with you in the car because you weren't wearing a fucking seatbelt. Put your seatbelt on. She goes, okay, baby. And she does. And I drive. And I'm going slow because I don't want anybody to even look in the car. Like, not even cops. I don't want real people to look in either because, again, I'm at the time 44 and fat in a winter coat in June because it's cold at night because I have thin blood, and she's 20 in a bra. You got to think she's got a gun in her ribs at that point if she's in the car with me, right? Either she's a hooker or she's a fucking kidnapping victim. Either way, it's not good. So I'm going as slowly as I possibly can. We come to the first stoplight, and there's another cop. And I'm just waiting for him to look in and see that this incongruous situation is happening. And I'm hoping, but I'm not hoping. And I don't want to get pulled over, but who knows? And then he just fucking doesn't do anything. He sits there. He lets the light change and lets me go through. So I pull through. And it's silent in the car. And I just want her to get the fuck out of my car. I'm nervous. I'm freaking out. But I'm still a guy. So I look at her and I go, did you say 80 bucks for everything? And she goes, why? Did you change your mind, baby? I go, no, I didn't change my mind. I didn't change my mind. But I'm just kind of wondering if that's what you said. And if what I just, because again, folks, I, I've seen hookers before, and I'm always at arm's length. And I'm always curious, but now I've got a real live one in the fucking car. I've got to ask them questions, right? I've got to find out what's happening. It's like a real live Reddit AMA. I've got to get some answers. So she says, why did you change your mind? I said, no, I didn't change my mind. I just want to know what everything is. She goes, well, everything. I said, well, does everything include ass? And she says, no, baby, ass is extra. And in my head, I actually said, good. Like, good, because I'm now her business manager. Good. And I said, well, you really shouldn't call it everything if ass isn't included in the $80. And she didn't answer me. Because, again, I'm just nervous. When I get nervous, all I do is fucking talk. And all I'm doing is killing time. Just trying to talk and fucking get her out of my car. So then I said, well, wait a minute. You said $60 for a blowjob, $80 for everything. She said, yes. And I go, that's only a $20 difference. And she goes, yeah. And I go, I think you're really underestimating the pricing there. If you're going to go 60 for a blowjob and 80 for everything, it should be a little more than that, don't you think? And she actually got a quizzical look on her face and she's like, yeah, baby, I think you're right. So now I'm a pimp. All of a sudden I'm creating new socioeconomic pricing tiers for a hooker in my car. And then I don't tell me, I'm like, what are you doing? Get her the fuck out of your car. So we pass another couple of lights. And I'm very careful not to go to other people and let them see what's happening inside the car. And we get to Denny's. And there are several entrances for Denny's. One, you can actually go to Burbank and go left and then turn into Denny's. But there's also an entrance that's kind of, it's illegal. But what you do is you do a quick U-turn and all of a sudden you're in Denny's and that's fine. So I pull over there. I've got the signal on and I'm ready to go because I just wanted to get the fuck out of my car. And I pull up and she actually says, you know, that's an illegal turn. And I said, yeah, I just want you. And she goes, well, aren't you going to get pulled over? You don't want to get pulled over, right? And in my head, I'm like, this hooker is smarter than me. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I, sure enough, I fucking pull up to the stoplight. The light changes and I turn left on Burbank. And then I immediately turn left into Denny's. And I don't park. I sit right in the middle, bathed in the lights of all of the streetlights that are in the parking lot. And, she reaches underneath her and she takes, because I have the Propel and the water in the seat. She's sitting on it the whole time. She threw it on the floor. And the people come out of Denny's and I don't want them to see a hooker get out of my car. So I said to her, I go, wait, just wait. Stay here. So she sits in the car, which might be even worse that we're sitting there, but I didn't even think twice. So these dudes, three dudes walk in front of the car and they go over to like a silver Lexus. And of course they decide that it's time to talk in the Denny's parking lot. They're going to have a chat. And I look at her, and I'm tired of waiting, so I'm finally just like, you can go. So she opens the door, and she climbs out with those fucking ridiculous Lucite heels. And she reaches down, and she grabs the Propel off the floor. And she says, I'm going to take this, okay, baby? And in my head, I'm just like, well, you sat on it the entire trip. I think it's okay because I'll tell you what, I like blueberry pomegranate, but I don't like blueberry pomegranate and hooker ass. I got to be honest, that's never going near my mouth again. I'm going to steam clean the entire fucking car because you've been in the passenger seat for fucking 15 minutes. And by 15 minutes, I mean a half hour, 30 minutes, because the argument took 15 and the drive took 15 because I was crawling. But she didn't even wait for me to answer because all that went through my head and she just opened the Propel and she drank it. And in my head, I'm like, well, I guess now it's really yours. It's like licking the last piece of pizza. Take it. And she goes, okay, baby. And she takes the Propel and she looks at me and says, happy Father's Day, baby. And closes my car door and walks over to the silver Lexus where the three guys are. She waves. She immediately puts her arms like around one of them and starts talking. And they start laughing and then they all hug her. And all four of them climb in the Lexus and drive off. And I sat there, I teared up. I won't lie. I teared up because I was so freaked out about what had just happened. And also, it just seems so sad. It seems so sad. She was maybe 20. And I'm shaking, physically shaking. And it was the Happy Father's Day that got me. Because in her life, if she had anybody that she could actually say that to and mean it, she's probably not jumping into cars with strangers at 2 o'clock in the morning in a parking lot.
That's a great story.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's can I say, first of all, I just have to say, that Denny's is the Denny's that my fiance and I go to all the time.
Really?
We live not far away from there at all. And I know the illegal U-turn, and there's a weird little street.
And it's smart. It was smart not to do that U-turn. She was right. Because if you get busted with an illegal U-turn, you're talking about a moving violation, and then she's in your car. You're going to have to explain this and that. And you'd already been being careful.
Yeah.
So we don't want to flub it up on a...
But right at the end, it's that thing where you're just like, we're done. We're so close.
She's committing... She's just describing all the felonies that she will... commit and how much for them, but for God's sakes, don't make a U-turn. It's
good
like
for
this,
her.
It's like
when you got back to your building, was anything amiss? Was everything okay?
No, everything was great. I mean, I used to do it all the time. It was the middle of the night, and I never saw anyone.
And nobody was around.
That would have been weird if it was all an elaborate prank to get you away from the building. You come back, it's empty.
Copper wire stripped.
Yeah,
and I do think $80 for everything seems very low.
It seems light.
Ass is extra. That's reasonable.
I would think so.
I think cum in your hair, that's double.
You think so?
Yeah.
You're assuming no condom even. Boy, you are adventurous.
Well, I didn't go that far, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, everything is a really nebulous term, especially because it stops at the second everything you're thinking, vagina and ass. It's like, no, just it's like, wait a minute. So it's really not everything.
Yeah.
It's really, I come in your hair. By the way, never would have thought of that.
I would never just wear a bra in public. That's bold.
It was spangly. Well, it was June, and like I said, for me it was cold because I have thin blood now. But she she wanted to look her best, and I keep thinking about it over and over.
I bet you think about it over and over.
Well, I mean, if I hadn't been married at the time, this story might have gone completely different.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Because once she got out, I saw that,
the other side.
Yeah, and I'm an ass guy anyway. But also, I was too freaked out. I mean, I could have never.
Yeah, but she would have. Yeah, but you'd already blown your negotiations because if you'd said, "Listen, I'm not married. You know what? I would like ass," and she would know that you were. So you told her it was undervalued. She'd be go, "Oh, that's $3,000."
She was a box of fucking rocks. Are you kidding me? She asked me if I was a cop in like 5 seconds. Aren't they not supposed to say that? Isn't that by giving me the cop speech? That's your tell. I mean, literally, in Hooker Poker, you just fucking lost. You went all in and bailed because you already told me you thought.
Just the very idea that she gets in and you say get out. It's like you'd be the worst cop in the world. It'd be like you'd lose cop poker because you're like, I'm here to trap prostitutes. Prostitute got in my car. Get out.
Or I'm the greatest cop because I yell and scream at the screen and I put forth this huge smoke screen and then I make her comfortable.
Do you lock your doors now in
Here's
the car?
Here's the thing. The reason I didn't lock the doors, when I left my security gig, I popped the doors with my key fob
to
put my laptop and my thing in the back seat. It was the only reason I did it because usually all my court doors are locked at all times.
Because it is important to lock your doors. I mean, just in case, I'm just saying somebody, like a reach in and grab at a traffic light or whatever. Now, I've had a couple of convertibles in my life. I'm a big fan of the convertible. But I do think about that, like driving through Hollywood, stopped at Sunset and La Brea or whatever, just stopped in the middle of Hollywood in a convertible. Even if the doors are locked, I'm in a flipping convertible, aren't I?
Yes.
So I would always keep
my... With Lucite heels on.
That's hard to drive with those. But I would always put my purse under my legs. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't put my purse in the seat.
Well, sometimes I look at my car and I think, because somebody have some news story, they're like, you should lock your car when you're getting gas because people might run up.
Right.
And then I look in my back seat at the pile of shit there and I think to myself... If anyone is stupid enough to reach in here,
if anybody wants my Lilith Fair CDs, you can take my
or the pile of flyers from the Eagle Rock Comedy Festival from 2 years ago. Feel free, go ahead.
Okay, so listen, Mike. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the 40-year-old boy, and why isn't it now called the 46-year-old boy?
Because when I first started it, I was 40. And then everybody asked me the next year, they said, are you going to change? And the show that week was called The 41-Year-Old Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, not the actual show, but the episode.
Yeah.
And everybody said, are you going to change the name? And I said, no. I mean, that just seems ridiculous. Because I'm going to change it every year. It's branding, whatever. And also, I said, when I get to 50, the joke was always, look, when I turn 50, just shoot me in the face. Because if I'm still doing this fucking show, I deserve it.
Maybe you'll be doing the show, but in a different type of, maybe it'll be bigger. Maybe it'll be on television. Maybe it'll be in a different place.
You and I talked about this at the Podfest. Maybe I'll just be doing a podcast because I love it.
Right.
And I have full control over it.
Or maybe you'll just be sitting on a curb somewhere in North Hollywood talking.
And I will have people listening.
With your hooker friends.
Have fucking people listening.
That's right.
With your hooker friends.
Yeah.
And listen, I do love the logo, the 40. 40-year-old boy. I love the little boy screaming. Is that who did that for you? Who did that graphic?
My friend David Hernandez does all the artwork for the show.
I think it's terrific.
And he every week he does a different watercolor painting for the episode. So if you can see, whenever you pull down an episode, you'll see it'll come up in your little window there.
Is that really his original artwork every week?
Every night. I do the show on Wednesday. He doesn't know what it's going to be. Neither do I. Because when I go in, I just talk.
Right.
And then I call him and we talk for an hour about what I talked about. And then he gives me something in 2 hours.
Where does he live?
He lives in Chicago.
Wow. How interesting. Did you know him as a childhood
friend?
We've
known each other 35 years.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, I need to ask. Together. Yes, I need. So you're from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
What part of Chicago?
I was born in the city itself, and then I moved to the southwest suburbs. I went to high school in Bolingbrook, and I lived in Naperville and stuff near Joliet.
Okay, right. Near Homewood. Do you know that?
I know where Homewood is, but
yeah.
It's not near me.
No, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's about 35 miles southwest of Chicago. But I was born in the city itself.
And you have five brothers?
Four.
Four brothers.
Yeah, five boys.
And there's five girls in my family.
Whoa.
And I have one brother. Do you have any sisters?
Out. Fire that kid.
Listen, my brother lucked out big time because number one, got his own room, didn't he?
Number two, got to practice kissing with four different girls growing up.
Number three, exactly. Got his own clothes. I wore hand-me-downs forever. Got his own toys.
Wait a minute. You're telling me all five girls wore the same Lucite heels in your family?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Mike. Listen,
the oldest sister is so old, they were actually wooden.
Oh.
They were just carved out of teeth.
It was more of a clog is what that was.
Yeah.
So listen, I want to ask you, well, first of all, I love your show, The 40-Year-Old Boy.
All right.
I love that, because I'm from Pittsburgh, you know, Hannah's here from Milwaukee, and I love that you use terms that I'm familiar with, like jagoff.
Ah, yeah, jagoff. Absolutely.
That's one of my favorite terms.
And I've met Pittsburgh people who are like, well, you know, that's a Pittsburgh term. And I'm like, but fuck that. I grew up in Chicago saying jagoff all the time.
Yeah, I think it's Midwest, as it were.
Yeah.
You know who says it a lot is Dennis Miller, and he's from Pittsburgh, and he says jagoff all the time.
Yeah, instead of jerkoff, which is more of a West Coast thing.
Jerkoff is an action. Jagoff is a person. In my opinion,
yes.
For people who want a handy fucking guide.
It's grammar.
Yeah.
It's crotch grammar, brought to you by the 40-year-old.
So you no longer are a security guard?
No. We got my boss went crazy. Like, he actually got 5150, and which was a drag. And then a management company took over the building. I didn't want to be there.
Right.
I mean, it was just this thing where it was a building in North Hollywood. And Chicago comedians used to trade the gig.
Oh, interesting.
When we weren't writing, or we would get a job writing on a show, and then another Chicago comic would come in and take it. Guys like Rich Brown and Pete Schwabba. It was Pete
Rich
Schwabba's,
Brown, I remember. Yeah, I know him.
It was Pete Schwabba's gig originally. And then he would hand it off. He handed it to me. Pat Francis has done it. Everybody's done it. Because, you know, guys would get a job on a show, or guys would get a job doing something, or go on the road, and they would trade it because it was always
in
there.
That security guard position, was there a uniform?
Nope.
So when the hooker got in your car, you weren't in a uniform.
No, I'm just saying, winter coat and shorts.
Because you. Now, wait a minute.
Literally.
That's what kind of fashion statement is that?
It's 1 a.m. I want a hamburger statement. I mean, because I sat in the office, I didn't have to do anything.
Right.
I don't think you look like such an odd couple through the windshield as you think. You were wearing shorts and a thing, and she's wearing a spangly bra.
She looked like I picked up my daughter from a rave. I mean, that's what it looked like. It was so bad.
Now, you don't have any kids, do you?
I do not.
I didn't.
That
I wasn't
you
sure.
know of.
No. So it was, I looked ridiculous, but it was the middle of the night and it was cold and because again, I wasn't really cold, but 55 to me is cold
right,
now.
Right,
I'm,
right.
I'm that guy.
I know the other day that happened to me, I was so ashamed. It was like 65 degrees and I was putting a jacket on. I'm like, oh, I'm such a pussy now.
Yep.
Yeah,
I used to play short, you know, at 50 degrees was first day of spring. You go out and play, you know, football in your shorts, and now
all
I can't
the all the hot moms at my daughter's elementary school, now they're all wearing Uggs with their shorts. Because first you wear, you know, the Birkenstocks or like cute little sandals with your shorts, and then you move to the Ugg, which is sort of a cute look, I think.
Absolutely, it's hot.
Why do you say you're so fat? Why do you say
because
that?
Because I used to be.
Because you're not, well, not at all. You look very regular.
Well, I've lost 63 pounds in the last 3 months.
Wow,
I used to weigh 500, and then I got down to 267, and then I went back up. So I was probably around 345,
because you did the gastric bypass surgery.
Yeah, in 2005.
And how was that?
It's the best thing I ever did.
Is that right?
If fat people are out there and they're listening and they're doubting it or whatever, I will tell you it's different for women. Women get all sorts of different health complications. So please, by all means, put as much research as you possibly can. But if you're gun shy about it and you're a guy, don't be. It was the fucking best.
And how do you prepare for that? Do you have to prepare to do that?
Yeah, you have to do that thing where they make you lose weight before it.
Like, and
I was
how
like 5'18 when I went in. I was 5'05 when I had the surgery.
And what do they want you to lose?
I lost to 5'05.
Why?
Because you might die on the table because you're weighed down by so much. They got to put you under, and the anesthetic thing's an issue. And it's so funny, when I first was scheduled for the surgery, they didn't tell me that I needed to lose the weight. So I showed up like a couple days before surgery, and I actually put on like 6 pounds.
Yeah.
And
I guess normally you'd be like, well, fuck this. Binge. I'm eating everything inside. Yeah, yeah. Why am I going to diet before my,
Well, because I just lived normally. I just did what I was going to do. And then they said, and they were really angry at me. And they don't take it lightly. Because fat people lie. When I went to all the psych tests, I'm not kidding. When we went to psych tests and stuff, there are all these people mewling and bargaining. And can I still eat milk after the surgery? And they go, you're not going to want to. It's like dairy, and you might get lactose intolerant.
Yeah, sure.
They warn you of all the things, and they go, well, I'll just have milk on my cereal. And they go, well, you might not want it. And we're telling you, they go, well, I'll just put it in my coffee. It's like they're all bargaining, and it's because that's what they've spent their whole lives doing. And I was ready, man.
Food is so hard because it's you have to eat, and then it's just that whole. It's very complicated. It's complicated. I mean, I can see why. Like,
but you have to eat something. I think you told me this, Christine, or some you had read this somewhere. It's like you don't have to smoke or drink alcohol or whatever, but. You have to eat something.
Right. So you don't have to eat 2 pounds of pasta and a gallon of ice cream every night. I mean, because I kept the food journal when I was going to lose the weight. So quickly. They were furious at me that I didn't lose the weight. And I said, I did not know. Nobody told me.
Right.
And it was a big thing. And they were talking about possibly not even giving me the surgery. And then they went through my chart and then my file and they found the letter that was supposed to be mailed to me to tell me what I was supposed to do, and it had never been mailed to me.
Interesting. Mm.
So they apologized, and they were very nice about it. But then I had to put it off another month and take two and a half weeks, I think it was, to lose more weight. I got down to 505, and they said, you're fine.
Wow.
And so I went in, and then they did the
surgery. How long is that procedure?
I was out. So, I mean, I think it's 3 hours, maybe
that's
4.
That's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was supposed to be out. They said, you'll be in and out of the hospital in like a day and a half, 2 days. And I was there 4 days because I had a thing where I couldn't. They fill you up like a balloon to do the surgery and stuff, and I could not get rid of the excess
water
stuff. It's air.
I see.
But it's like when people get a colonoscopy.
Yeah,
they blow air into your rectum.
Oh,
yeah, you heard
brother.
Me.
Oh,
but I don't know why to be able to get the camera through, and then you can't go.
Is that
go
for $80? Is that included?
No, that's extra.
That's extra.
Well, no, the extra, they'll blow it in for $80, but to get it out, it's $50.
It's really high.
But you look like, you are like a big guy. Like, your head looks like a normal size to your body now, so you're like.
Well, I have a giant guy wearing like a size 8 hat. You know what I mean?
But I've seen guys like, who is that guy? Al Sharpton. Must have had gastric.
Wait a minute, what?
But no, Al Sharpton, the black actor. He's got a show on MSNBC.
He
used to be a fat man. He's obviously had gastric bypass, but his body is so small now that he looks like a bobblehead, and I'm not kidding. It's he looks ridiculous.
I look weird to me.
You
don't at all.
But to us, you look completely normal.
Thank you.
Because you have broad enough shoulders, you're a big enough guy that your head is not now disproportionate to your body. Your body is now proportionate to your head.
But
I've seen people whose heads become disproportionate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I'm just saying. And that's the thing you have to deal with. You know, like I said, because when I lost 235 pounds.
Yeah.
So
that's like two people.
It's a fucking NFL running back.
It's unbelievable, right?
And I would tell you, I got to 267. And I went in, and I had 18% body fat. I was doing martial arts 3 times a week.
Gosh.
I was lifting. I looked fucking great. And then they said, dude, you only got to lose 40 more pounds, and then we'll do a body lift, and it'll be fucking amazing. And I should have gone, yay, only 40 more pounds. But in my head, I went, I got to lose 40 more fucking pounds?
Yeah, right.
I lost 235 fucking pounds.
Right.
And then, the cash, I was writing on shows at the time, so I had money to train. But then the money ran out, so I can't go to classes. I couldn't do that.
Right,
and
it's hard.
I'm not gonna make myself do it. Forget, fuck that. So...
Well, what are you doing now? You're doing something.
I stopped eating and I started lifting.
There you go.
I mean, you just lift and I box and all. Same thing I did before.
It really is funny how, I mean, it comes down to diet and exercise.
That's
all
it
is. It just sucks, doesn't it? I mean, it sucks that it's that simple. No, I know it doesn't suck, but it does suck. You know what I mean?
What sucks is that people have created these enormous industries that they're making money, where they're trying to convince people that it's, oh no, it's if you eat this juice or you do this. Or it's like, no, don't eat. Like my doctor said to me, he's like, listen, you're high or your bad cholesterol's fine, but you're good cholesterol is low. So he said, don't eat this. Basically, he said, stop eating like an asshole teenager.
That's
what I heard in my head.
On stage, I say, people are like, how'd you lose the weight? I go, I stopped eating like a grizzly bear and I got off my ass.
Well, I am awfully glad you did, because we want you here.
Oh, you're nice.
We want you around. No, but because, heart disease is directly linked, obviously, to obesity. And so, I know, but it seems like people don't see that correlation. Like, people can
and they're always
die
looking for
all
solutions.
Well, I was freaked out about diabetes. Like, I'm like, I can't get diabetes. I can't, I don't want gout, like fat guy diseases.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no,
I gotta
you
avoid
don't.
All that shit.
Yeah, that's just simple. And gout is just an embarrassing thing
to
have.
You know, it just sounds terrible.
Well, at some point, you just want to have a healthy lifestyle. while just so you can think about other things. You know, it doesn't, you don't want it to always be about what you're eating and what you're not eating. It's just be regular, healthy lifestyle. Move on. Next.
Well, the first thing I said to the doctor when I went in, literally when I went in for the first consultation, and I was a fat dude. And there are all sorts of triggers that made me realize I had to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, what do you want to do? And I literally, it sounds fucking corny and ridiculous, but I just said, I just want to run again.
Yeah.
That's all I said. I want to run. And so that was it. And so now I can.
See, now you can. I think that's terrific. And running will kick your ass, man. I'll say that. Anything that is just you making it happen, like running and swimming to me, like those two sports, that is like, and I ran a marathon actually. And it's, that's, you push yourself so freaking hard and nobody can do it for you. And when I think of like Oprah Winfrey, she ran a marathon. No matter how much money you have, nobody can run that marathon for you. It's really, it's very empowering.
It's you against it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, just your body. And I think martial arts is probably that same concept, isn't it?
When I was doing it, it was fun. I mean, I was doing the mixed martial arts. I was doing jiu-jitsu training and Muay Thai and then just regular, you know, fighting and hitting and wrestling. And I loved it. I was getting the shit beat out of me because I wasn't good. You know what I mean? It was like they had these general classes. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'll learn some stuff. And then because I was big, I didn't mind getting thrown around. So all the guys who were good would be like, I'll spar with him. And they'd kick the fuck out of me. And it was just like, dude, really?
Yeah.
Because I'm not made of glass. I didn't mind it, but at the same time, eventually you get tired of being, you know, mounted and guys slapping you in the head,
listen,
and daring you to get out of it.
Unless it's for $80.
That's right.
Yeah, unless you're wearing proper heels.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I would love to.
Can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
All right. that is a big wheel. So it landed on kids. Kids. I don't have any kids, but I will tell you this story. When I was growing up, my friend Jeff and I and our friend Chris Shabika, one time we went out to breakfast and we were there was a place called Ponderosa in the Midwest that you would go to and had a breakfast buffet. And we were there killing time eating. And then for some reason, we got a doggy bag at the buffet and we filled it up with a bunch of shit, including what I had invented, something called the Sino-Japanese salad, which was crispy Chinese noodles with sauteed green peppers and onions. And we also took a stack of fucking waffles. So we drove around and we threw waffles at people all day. We would just drive around. There was a kid mowing a lawn and we bombed him with waffles. They just came flying at him. He dove behind a fucking hedge. It was great. Well, we turned down a side street by my house and there was a little girl and she blocked us and we were trying to do a U-turn and we were pulling up and she was probably like 4 and she wouldn't get out of the way. And we actually honked. And so she finally stepped out of the way and we went to pass her very slowly and she looked at us and she stuck her tongue out and she's like, nah. And so I reached in and I grabbed a handful of the Sino-Japanese salad and I fucking blasted her in the face with it. And she stood there covered in sauteed onions, peppers, and Chinese fucking noodles when her mom went, what's going on out here? Oh my God. And we drove off.
Perfect story in a minute and 2 seconds, Mike.
It was perfect.
Mike Schmidt, ladies and gentlemen.
It is a perfect story because you know who that little girl was? The whore on Lancashire Boulevard. If you hadn't thrown that in her face, she'd be fine, but no.
Now listen, you guys, the 40-year-old podcast is a show that Mike, obviously it's Mike's monologue, and it can go anywhere from an hour to day and a half. No, it can go.
No, you're not wrong.
But it can go a couple hours. And so Mike, when he agreed to do our show, he was a little hesitant because we have like this 10-minute story or perhaps a 5-minute story. Then it gets in here and we put him into doing a 1-minute story.
Oh, yeah,
and you totally obsessed. Pull it off.
Well, you're very nice. I don't think that I can't do it, but it's the thing where I don't want to disappoint your listeners and they're expecting a certain thing. And you want to be funny and you want to hit beats.
Well, I'm sorry, disappointing our listeners, hilarious content.
Well, you've done enough of it. So
yes,
the last
exactly.
thing you need is me to disappoint them as well. So
no,
boom, right
great.
In the nads.
Yeah, that's right.
I am really happy you came on the show.
I'm
really.
So happy to be asked. I've been waiting to be asked, and then we met at PodFest, so that was very nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed the PodFest. You enjoyed it?
I did, yeah. I had a great time. My show went well, and then I get to see and meet a bunch of people, and it's that thing where, as you know, we're all you're doing is it's weirdly networking. And so I had to go to Aisha Tyler hat in hand to go, I'd like to do your show. And I usually hate, I don't do that. I never ask to do your show. I don't ask to do people's shows. Just like on Facebook, I don't ask people to be my friend. It's ridiculous and silly, but it's this rule in my head. I'm like, people need to notice me, and it's dumb.
You know, the thing is it's the business we're in. in, you know, show business. Yes. This is our business. And so it, I think I try to treat it like any other business where, you know, you do have to network and get to know who else is in the business mm-hmm. because you want them to do well as it lifts you up as well. And everybody, so it's kind of like, I thought that Podfest was a nice opportunity to meet so many other people doing the same thing with the same sort of, enthusiasm.
We've known each other. I mean, I've known you. I've seen you at gigs at the M Bar and things like mm-hmm. that. But always in passing. And
right.
So I never felt right. And especially
that one time we made out. That one time at In-Out Burger.
Didn't we make out? In my head, certainly. We've made out many
times. No. It was that Denny's.
That was the Denny's. That's right.
You hopped in after she hopped
that's
out.
That's right.
Talk about your grand slam. No.
She was a super bird. No.
Moons over my hammy.
Well, anyway, it was fun to run into you at the Podfest. And thank you for coming on the show.
Now,
we really do appreciate it.
Is that going to work
out? That's after. Now, first we have Paul Gilmartin coming on. And then maybe after that.
Well, we have to take pictures. And then we take pictures of you making out. And then we have Paul Gilmartin on.
All right, you guys. We're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network, who
helps us out. I'd like to make out with him. That'd be awesome.
Every darn week. I'd also like to thank Jorge Reyes and Joe Slepsky. And, of course, John Thomas Griffith, you know, Hannes, that's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Yeah, did you ever make out with him?
No comment. And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Mike Schmidt, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.